Voices on Climate Justice. Audio reports on struggles for environmental justice. Interviews produced for broadcast on campus community radio stations globally, featuring voices from around the world engaged in frontline environmental struggles and key activists in international campaigns for climate justice. In this segment, we will hear an interview with Ellen Gabriel, Mohawk activist from Kanesetagi, speaking on current attempts via Neocan Corporation to set up a mine on traditional Mohawk lands, just 10 minutes away from the location for the historic 1990 Oka Crisis, a standoff between Mohawk warriors and the Canadian military that redefined Indigenous-Canada relations. Ellen Gabriel focuses on the rights of Indigenous people to traditional lands within both Canadian and international law, within the context of the current struggle against the opening of a corporate mine on Mohawk lands in Kanesetagi. Now, we will turn to the interview with Ellen Gabriel.
First of all, there hasn't been proper consultations. There have been information sessions, which we do not consider consultations. That would require our consent. But most of all, it's going to contaminate the land, and it's going to contaminate the aquifers, which we rely on. We have well water. But also, in the same situation, are the farmers, the Quebecois farmers, who are living around the mine area. Actually, I think what it'll do, since they're using 8 million gallons of water a day, it's going to drain our aquifers. We will not have water. We won't be able to eat the food that we grow because of the contamination. Because in their digging of niobium, they'll be hitting uranium. And so the uranium will be contaminating our well water.
In regards to this land being traditional territory, maybe could you explain the implications in regards to the land claim that is in process? Why would they be trying to go forward in this context?
Kanesetagi is considered crown land, which means it belongs to the government through the crown, and that they can use this land any way they feel like it. For 300 years, the Mohawks of Kanesetagi have been contesting this because it is a traditional community. It existed long before the Sulpicians brought Christian Indians there. So what they're trying to say is that we were brought there. This is not our traditional territory, and we're arguing the opposite. Hence, you know, we had the 1990 Oka Crisis, where they said, well, we can expropriate this land because we've given the golf course permission to take this land for condominiums. And so 21 years later, we're still in the same situation of the land still being questionable about who actually owns it in Canadian law, whereas we know it's ours. In order to stop the project, and I think that's why the project has been on hold, is the Mohawk Council of Kanesetagi, which is the structure, administrative structure that was created under the Indian Act. It's not a traditional structure. Has also interceded on behalf of the community to say this is part of our land claims. And so they have to kind of put things on hold. But, you know, we're trying everything at our disposal at this moment. But the fact remains that this has always been traditional Mohawk territory. It's mentioned in the condolence rite of a chief, because Kanesetagi was one of the first communities to accept the Great Law of Peace. And we still maintain that we have never sold our land, we have never ceded our land by treaty or any other document that could be in the possession of the Canadian government, and the government knows that it's true. So what they're doing is illegal by even granting an audience to Neocan.
Now, in regards to understanding the land realities in Quebec and Canada, this is Indian land. To most people, that's a shock. But maybe just explain that concept. And I know it's a huge one, but briefly, and how is it important to understand that broader reality in regards to this specific mining project and the choice to oppose it?
Even under Canada's Constitution of 1982 revisions, the government of Canada recognizes the inherent rights of Aboriginal peoples. The Supreme Court of Canada, unfortunately, has, you know, has been the one to define what Aboriginal title or Aboriginal rights mean, and they've done it in a very restrictive manner. To say that we have to prove occupancy and the activities we're doing since preoccupation. So it's this criterion, standards, and policies of a foreign government on our land instead of our criteria on negotiating nation to nation. And Montreal is traditional Mohawk territory. We have never lost at war, so we are not a conquered people. We never ceded any of our territory. What the government is trying to do is to, I've mentioned this many times, if you repeat a lie often enough, eventually people will believe it. And that's what the Canadian public is believing. The Canadian Constitution and Canadian sovereignty, more so Canadian sovereignty, is predicated on a lie. And legally, even Canada knows they do not have the right to claim sovereignty on our land. We have international human rights instruments that also support the rights, collective rights of Indigenous people, such as the UN Declaration. Our great law is also reinforces our sovereignty, but it's never been respected. And so we need to get back in the reconciliation process of dealing nation to nation, instead of dealing with community to community, and look at our traditional land base. And we're not saying we want to kick out people from their homes or we want to take away people's livelihoods. What we want to say is we want to be able to have a say in what development happens on our territory. We want to approve it. It has to have our free, prior, and informed consent. And it has to include all the details of how it's going to impact the environment and all the creatures, including human beings, that depend on that environment.
You have been listening to an interview with Ellen Gabriel, Mohawk activist from Kanasatagi, speaking on current attempts via Neocan Corporation to set up a mine on traditional Mohawk lands, just 10 minutes away from the location for the historic 1990 Oka Crisis. This interview was recorded and produced for the Voices on Climate Justice series for broadcast on campus community radio stations globally by Stefan Christoff. Music for this series provided by DJ Moonstar of Public Transit Records, Canada.